Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Yeah, Betuzile Mninga with Dumim Gokstad and Jumbo. A beautiful trio there with Amandla Asegazini. Bring us to exactly 8 minutes after 7 right here on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. This is the second lap of our Thursday show. It's simply called Thursday Live. And during this time of the program, we cross over to the Global Business Roundtable. And we're having somebody there on the line. His name is Mr. Naule Khodi. So good evening and welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Good evening, sir, and thank you to the listeners of Radio Pulpit.
We have another Lokhodi here. Are you guys related?
Oh no, I just know him on air, but not necessarily. We have never met in person.
Yeah, okay. You know, with us the Moabis, as long as you are Moabi, we are related. Doesn't matter where you are in the world. You might be in Lesotho, yeah. You might be in Botswana, but yeah, we are the Moabis. That's who we are. We are related.
No, that's important.
I thought it's
that's
the same as the Lokhodis, but anyway, it must be sorted out within the Lokhodis there.
Yes,
tell us a little bit
about
yourself. Who is Neo Lokhodi?
Neo Lokhodi is a husband, married and with 2 kids. And also, I'm a pastor. I lead a church in Polokwane, and I've been in finance, and now I'm an analyst, and I do. I'm an author also. I've written a great book about love and marriages called Who Has the Pants.
So you are from Polokwane. You're based in Polokwane as we speak.
Exactly, I'm in Polokwane.
That ralebuga. Tobel. Muku.
Tobela. No, you got it right there, Muku. You got it right there.
Yeah, I don't know, Muku. You can't get it wrong. And interestingly, we'll be talking about marriage and love things. Yeah, I was a little bit surprised. I'm like, who on earth can come up with this topic? It's like you are saying, Satakolasa, Mamu. So the topic is, ladies and gentlemen, who wears the pants? Can you believe it? Why this topic?
This topic came about after I've done a lot of marriage counseling, particularly for younger couples, and also the older couples that I've observed who were frustrated, you know, in their marriages. But the most frustration is coming from the younger couples, because most of them, particularly the husbands, have been raised traditionally or culturally knowing that the man wears the pants. No doubt, it's non-negotiable. But the definition of wearing the pants, of what are the pants, and, you know, of them being the head in the family, that is what has been a bit obscured. And then throughout generations, throughout changes, technology and all the things changed, and they have not adapted to the changes. So they got the definition of who's the head of the house from their grandfathers who existed in the 40s and passed on knowledge throughout generation. But when they try to apply the same knowledge today, and then there's friction in the house, and most of the men are frustrated. That is why you see statistics that most of our husbands are, or particularly husbands, are depressed, you know. It's because of the question, who wears the pants? You know, they're asking themselves, Kanti, who wears the pants in this house? So that's how we came up with the book called Who Has the Pants, and we wrote the book, which has 14 chapters that deals with different husbands in the 21st century, different husbands that a wife can actually get.
Okay, so they are stressed because women don't want them to wear the pants, so to speak. Or they are stressed because women of today don't understand that they are the ones as husbands who are supposed to wear the pants. What actually stresses them?
What is actually stressing the husband is actually the role, is their role in marriage, particularly in this century. That what is their role? Because they were told that they are the steering of the house. Mm-hmm. You know, they are the men. You know, they do whatever that pleases them. When they say something, no one can respond back except by just doing whatever has been told. But they are now surprised that sometimes when they come with what they call the final say in the house, it is treated as a suggestion and it's subject to, you know, scrutiny in the house, and they are shocked. But this is not how my dad my mom was relating with my dad. And this is not definitely not how my grandmother was relating with my grandfather. What's happening here? You know, they're frustrated. They don't understand. But it's not about women per se. It's not about women per se, women actually being disrespected. It's all about the roles. The roles have changed. You know, let me give an example. Previously, women were not working at all. You know, women were not working at all, particularly in our culture, African culture, where the type of work that women were doing was just the house chores. They did the house chores and taking care of their husbands. But today, women are working same jobs with us. Some, they are even our bosses. Some are CEOs. Some are CFOs. You understand? So when they get back home, it becomes a bit challenging because this is a woman who works, particularly she knocks off at 7. And when as a guy, you knock off at 3:30 or 3, you have been home early. The woman's going to come later at 7. Who's supposed to cook, my man, in that regard? Because I was raised that I can never touch the pot. I'm an African man. Why would I touch the pot? But your wife is coming at 7 o'clock and she's tired. You understand? Mm. So the friction comes from there. It's an issue of roles. Understand? I mean, the confusion around the roles, particularly in this generation.
No, Sure. People but ba kirimba ba stay human. They're not flexible to accommodate the lifestyle of today. But when you look at history itself, that does not mean women were not working all this time. But looking at where we come from, women were working. They were balukumasimo, they were building those mud houses, more especially in our culture, Yaka Botswana. They were built by women, and they would put their roof on that house using thatch. So I've seen that happening right under, you know, right before my eyes. Women have always been working, and men were more into cattle. They're focusing more into cattle, but now they were into the field. They will go there, and men will plow, and then women will make sure they hoe the fields and they chase the birds away from eating whatever that is being planted there, etc. But then again, kikanya horwe na. You don't have an excuse. Ya hore go tsa hontse go le jalo, therefore mosadi ga tswa America o tshwanetse go hore I did all these things. I think that is not fair to women.
Not at all, my man. Think of it this way, if I may to give example. Imagine if your wife is a quantity surveyor somewhere, she's busy with building, she's been through in the sun the whole day, and you are an IT guy, or probably you're even working from home, you understand? Mm. You have been in a cool and nice environment, she has been in the sun the whole day, doing all the heavy duty kind of stuff, and then she comes back. Who's tired between you and her? You know, who's more tired physically? Mm. She's the one who's more tired physically. So when we come into the chores in the house, or the house chores, I mean, who should do most of the house chores in the house in that regard? Particularly if you do not have a helper in the house, if it's only the two of you. Hence, I said, most of the young couples that have been counseled, particularly those who just got married, they get frustrated, especially when it is only two of them. They don't know, what must I do? I'm supposed to come as a husband and ask for tea, ask for a drink, but my wife is, she says she's tired. Do you understand? So those kind of things, it's not easy for guys to adapt, and it is a cultural thing that culturally we were brainwashed to think in some way. But as you are saying, women are also working hard. You understand? Remember, our Africans will always say that job is for women. You know, why are you doing a job for women? So we always, even though they are working hard, we never took their job serious. We never took the work that they are doing serious. We always thought those ones are doing soft jobs, but not today. Today they're industrial. Most of the women that I know are very much industrial, even more than their husbands. You understand? So it is important for a 21st century husband to adjust their mentality in order to survive in marriage. Hence, we're talking about the issue of, is marriage relevant today? Hence, we are having a lot of people asking such questions. Is marriage relevant today? What's the relevance of marriage? Why? Because they feel like marriage is pulling women down, and husbands feel like women.
Okay, it looks like we have lost Neo Lukhodi there. 17 minutes after 7 on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, talking about who wears the pants. And these are some of the things that families are still struggling with today, even during this century, whereby men are not supportive to their wives, and they want their wives to come and cook for them. I wonder whereas they are staying at home doing nothing and all that, and if maybe the wife is tired, they still want the wife to come and cook. whereas they don't want to do anything. And Dade, are you there? Are you back?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
We lost you there, sir. You can go ahead.
Yes, in a sense. So the question can arise then, or what are the roles? What are the roles that? What are the roles, particularly if you are a man? What is the role of a man today in marriage in this kind of situation? The biggest and the top role, you know, the main role that a man has in marriage is leadership. Leadership doesn't change. Leadership is not about how much you earn per month or how much she earns per month. So leadership is a God-given gift. That's the vision. You are the visionary of the house as a man. Your leadership is your top. It has to be the key role that you have to carry out as a husband. And how do you do that in a 21st century? Look, each and every leader in whatever, whether in the corporate world, in organization, each and every leader, you are a leader is not there to compete with the teammates or with his team members. If you are a leader, you are not there to compete with your team members. You can be a leader and your team members be more talented and gifted than you. That one is very much, most of the time, in fact, most successful teams in the world, the leaders are not that talented or are not that as skillful as their teammates, you understand? So the key in leadership is not you being more talented, be more gifted, be more vocal, or having more money. That is not the key. But the key is in you having the ability to utilize, you know, to maximize, to leverage all the skills that you are having within your team. You understand? So as a leader, you are not there to be a leader who's going to pour ice on the fire, or you're going to pour water on the fire within your teammates. But you are a leader who's going to channel the fire within your teammates. If anything, if I may give an example, you are a leader who's supposed to build a chimney. You are supposed to build a chimney for the fire so that the smoke can go out, but the fire can remain within the team. You need the fire going on. But if you are a jealous leader, if you are a competitive leader and you think this woman is any more than me, this woman is more politically inclined than me, this woman is more intelligent than me, and you are trying to pull her down with each and every conversation and each and every debate in the house, and then what you are doing, you are killing the team. At the end of the day, the team is losing. She's not losing, but the team is losing. So as a leader, you need to ensure that the team is winning at all times. And how do you do that? Encourage the teammates. Ensure that you are not competing with the teammates, but you are ensuring that the skills, the fire, the passion within the teammate, you nurture that, you give it room to explode even further. Also, positively so. So that is the role of a husband today. So most of the husbands who are frustrated in marriage, they are frustrated because they are competing with their partners. They are competing with their wives. And you are not going to win, chief. This is particularly in South Africa. You are not going to win based on the policies that are being implemented in the corporate world, in our societies, even in the whole globally. Policies are being implemented every day, which are going to assist women who were previously, you know, excluded, you know, in various things. So now policies are being implemented so that they can have room also to explore and also to be themselves. So you're not going to win as a husband if you're going to compete with your wife. The best thing, be the team leader. Be the leader. Ensure that you do what? You nurture the fire. You nurture the passion and ensure that the team wins at the end of the day.
I'm maybe to come from this background, they teachable by long hore batla from Bavaring Mosadi Mirkwa Mosadi Kuhabi Kevata Kevata Lika Ku and our cutters or not. I mean these people are by teachable that they look.
Most of them are not that teachable, particularly which I've experienced, and it's shocking that even within the church, most men are not teachable within the church. You know, and then I think we are missing the point, particularly when scripture says a man shall leave his mother and father. I mean, that scripture is so clear. I mean, the marriage scripture, the key marriage scripture. For this reason, a man shall leave his mother and his father and his mother. I mean, that's a key. That's a key scripture. So leaving your father and your mother, you are leaving everything. You understand? There are certain ideologies which were good for your father and your mother, but they are not good for you. Remember, you are meeting a new person. The two must become one. You are new. She's new to this particular thing called marriage. The two must become one. In other words, when the two become one, the Lord is simply saying, you are starting a new thing. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. You understand? So the reason why these people are not teachable is because they want to implement some of the things that they're taking from their mothers and from their fathers. It's good to get, you know, advices, but not every advice is going to be you know, good for your journey. You understand? So you need to create your own journey. With all the young couples that I'm counseling, I always tell them one thing, that look, it's good to learn from other people. It's good to read books and do other things. But you need to create your own journey, you know, as a couple.
And let's be realistic, because this thing at the end of the day is not going to just end there in the kitchen. It's going to go to the bedroom also, because when the wife is not happy, then the bedroom is not going to be very happy.
Exactly. And if that is not happy, and then the marriage becomes sour, and then you understand, then you get questions, you get issues of where you get some of the believers are now flirting with the idea of about polygamy, you understand, you know, because they think that maybe my wife is not enough. And that is not, honestly, as a New Testament believer, we don't want to get into doctrinal debate on that one, but I don't think it's the right route to go, you understand. So it is important as a husband, what's the funny thing, what I've realized about marriage, we like taking, when coming to any other things, whether careers and other things, we take our own decisions. Career-wise, as sons from the, if you're a son, you know, in your father's house, when coming to career, most of the times we take decisions on ourselves. But when coming to marriage, we want to hear that uncle somewhere who is not a good role model even at all. But because he's the uncle in the family, he's the one who normally pops up during marriages, and he must be granted a podium, and he's the one whose voice you want to listen to. But on other affairs of your life, you have never listened to that uncle. Why are we allowing this kind of relatives to come and speak into our marriages?
Because he says what we want to hear.
Exactly, because that's what we've been fed, you understand? So there needs to be a paradigm shift from as far as husbands are concerned mentally regarding the issue of marriage.
And then again, even Sakanyahore, maybe as the church, we are not addressing the real issues. Arudiba to the daily activities of life. How many of our our sessions, the seminars, do we focus on this whole thing? So, okay, fine. More especially where you come from, you know, this is a stronghold, your culture and tradition. This could be the problems. But how many of us as pastors do make sure that we teach about on this, the whole things? Because this could be the problems in that particular era. Pila bo me banida go thusiwa. So me ga o buile na fela ga le robala, you know what I'm saying, but o simola go bua le na you look at the things tsena gore go mo go ena ke definition ya romantic, go ba being romantic sometimes just helping her gadijana and all that, so it becomes very very easy le gore she becomes happy, and once she's happy the whole family becomes happy. Are we doing enough with regard to addressing those issues? Can I rebuya fela ka tsa le godimara?
Yes. Fortunately, I'm a pastor, and let me tell you this. I've realized in ministry, if there is a demand, there's going to be supply. If there is a demand for certain teachings, you know, to be taught in the church, we are going to supply as a pastoral. Most of the times, people are quiet in the church, and they never come forth and say, look, within every church, there are departments. There is men department, there are women department, children, and so forth. So within their departments, within their corners, they never voice out and say, look, I think we desperately need these types of teachings. They never say that. And as a pastor, you know, I'll always pray, and whatever that the Lord is leading me at that particular time is what I'm going to teach the church. But pastors are also human beings. We are also listeners. We are not only the ones who speak, but we also listen. If there is a demand, so understand that there are certain traditionally religious pastors who will not want to touch a certain subject, you know, based on culture. Because one thing I've realized is that most of the things that we do in the name of the Lord are actually religion, and also they are actually our culture.
Am I wrong in saying that pastors also can do that? They're guilty as far as that is concerned. Guilty as charged, some of them.
Yeah, some of them, but depending on our background, you understand. Remember, some of the things have been passed from generation to generation. What I've seen my role model pastor doing, I'm likely going to do also, you understand. So, yes, there are certain pastors who still need to be shown, you know, the light as far as how addressing some of the matters, you understand. So, but, my man, if there is a demand in the church, I think we also need to call upon our fellow church members, wherever they are, that we in whichever church that they are in, you know, your pastor is not a monster. You know, most of us, we are even used to our pastors, but we can never tell them the truth that, look, I want to know about, for instance, I want to know about sexuality. Can you please do some teachings about sexuality so that we talk about these things, you know, in a safe environment, so that I don't need to go and Google everything and then end up getting wrong information, but I can just learn and we talk in a safe environment. So some of the congregation need to stand up, and you know what, if there is a demand, there's going to be a supply.
Raoul Damrud, in closing, what can you say to the listeners of Radio Pulpit?
Yes, I'm saying, as I already touched about the role of husbands, lastly for women, I want to say, you know, I've written a book, Who Wears the Pants? It has 14 chapters. The 14 chapters talks about 14 types of husbands. You need to understand what are the roles of women, what are the roles of men. And just in closing, particularly in Women's Month, you know, when coming to the role of a woman, it's been a long time that our women have been too silent in our families. Most women, particularly in Christianity, in the house of faith, we are having a lot of women who are being oppressed by culture in the name of church.
Let's do this. By the permission of Jose, obviously, let's have part two on this issue next week.
All right, my man. Yeah. All right, my man. I really love it.
Yeah, do pass this message to him that I suggested. I didn't say that. I suggested that we do part two of this. Thank you.
Please.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, we'll talk all to him right. again next week. That is if Jose Sokhua allows. His number is 011-242-8012.
Our family is just getting bigger and bigger. Welcome to 657 AM.